The following is an at-will presentation.
Welcome to Infinite Positivities. I'm Jenna Eshkowitz. This is a show where I take topics from my book, Choosing Glee, and speak with inspirational people about how to live a positive life. Chapter 18, Going All In. So as I mentioned last week, I got cast in the Broadway musical Waitress, and it got me thinking that it'd be really fun to do a series of interviews with some fellow Broadway actors. Last episode, I sat down with 9-time Broadway star Alice Ripley. If you haven't taken a listen to that yet, check it out. It may or may not feature Alice serenading me on more than one occasion. But today, I have the pleasure of sharing a conversation with actor and singer Ben Platt, who you may know from his roles in the Pitch Perfect films and Broadway's The Book of Mormon. One thing I can say with certainty about Ben is that whatever he commits himself to on stage, he commits himself fully. When it comes to going all in, regardless of what it is, that's not always an easy thing to do. So, before we get to the interview, we're going to speak to Dr. Heidi Reeder, author of the book Commit to Win, on how to cultivate commitment and follow through on our intentions.
There are some pitfalls and challenges to cultivating commitment. What we end up with a lot of times is like, oh my gosh, I totally intended to do this. You know, what happened? A lot of people set really important goals for themselves, things that will transform their life if they're able to accomplish them. And they get so excited when they first set that goal. But what they may find is over time, that initial excitement goes away and they end up not really following through on their goals. And that's because they are expecting their feelings to carry them through rather than a plan to carry them through. You know, when we make a commitment in our heart, we make an intention, we set an intention, we're only thinking of all the positive things that are going to come as a result of this, right? What we forget to picture is, well, it's going to be annoying. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to have to maybe talk to people I don't want to talk to. I'm going to have to put myself in vulnerable situations. I'm going to have to do things that are hard. There might be pain. There might be, you know, there's these things that are going to be downsides, right? And when I talk to groups about this, you know, often somebody will say, well, those are excuses. And I say, yes, but look closely at your excuses. If your excuses are actually stopping you, then do something about them. If your excuse for not, you know, going to the gym every day is that you don't like your gym, to me, that's not just an excuse. To me, it means pick a new gym. You know, if you have to rely on willpower all the time, I wonder, are you that committed? You know, wouldn't it be better to actually create an environment that you can really be committed in? Following through on your commitments to yourself, especially, is the best thing that you can do for yourself. The commitments that we make really create the foundation of our lives, right? If I make a commitment and I follow through on that, whether it's a relationship or it's a career, when I follow through on that commitment, that actually creates the life that I am going to lead. Have that intention of what you want to create in your life, then begin to mindfully cultivate the environment and make the decisions and set it up so you can succeed in that. And then when you get there, it's almost like, but of course, this is what was meant for me.
Ben Platt is currently on hiatus until he starts his Broadway run in the new musical Dear Evan Hansen. We recently met up in the At-Will Studios to talk about what dedication really means. Ben, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
You know, it was so funny. I was like, direct message, Ben, please come on my podcast. He's like, all right, fine. I have a busy week, but I'll fit you in.
Anything for you, Jenna.
You're the best. Thanks for coming.
Of course.
We're chatting about, just so you know, committing yourself and going all in these days. Which, speaking of, I got to see Ben in Dear Evan Hansen at Second Stage. It's the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh.
No, it's by far one of the best male performances that I've ever seen.
That's very kind of you.
Well, I've never seen anybody like, well, I guess I have, but it's one of the few times that I've seen somebody just leave their entire life on the floor of a stage.
Well, thank you. I try to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's start off with that.
Sure.
Because when you perform, at least as Evan, mm-hmm. you went all in.
Certainly.
Do you go all in your life? Do you go all in? Have you always gone all in?
I think so. I mean, I think I consider a large part of my life, at least right now, to be the work. So I feel like when I go all in that sense, mm-hmm. then like I kind of equate that to going all in life, just because, like, my main focus, at least these days, because of Evan, is, like, the show. So I feel like that's what I have in front of me to give myself to. So I do try to do that. I feel like in this particular show with this role, there's really no option but to do that. I feel like I, like, sort of believe in it enough, and I, like, love the writing so much that, like, I feel like I owe it to the piece to just throw my whole self away into it.
The Von Platts.
Mm-hmm.
The Von Platts.
What Jonah, about us?
Jonah, you, your dad,
mm-hmm.
super multi-talented.
We all sing, yes.
I read somewhere that you performed at bat and bar mitzvahs when you were a kid.
Of course. Anytime there's a simcha or a wedding. Like right now we're writing a song for Jonah's wedding. And so we always do like a rewritten musical theater song. So like for my bar mitzvah, my siblings sang to me a medley from Company, except instead of like Bobby, it was like Benny. Benny, Bubby, Benny, Bubby. And then they sang another 100 playbills just coming through the door. And then for Hannah, we sang a life report on Hannah Baron instead of a book report on Peter Rabbit. And we were like the different characters.
My God.
I was Schroeder. So yeah, we go all in the Von Platt family.
And then you did a tour when you were 11 years old?
I did.
Is that true?
I did. I did Carolina Change, which is a Tony Kushner, Janine Tesori musical. That was very beautiful. And I didn't really know like how good it was because I was 11. And I was like, this is great. I'm in a show. Like, sounds fun to me.
Did you tour a lot of cities?
No, I only did it for like 6 months. And it was only LA and San Francisco because it was a small, like, because they had already closed on Broadway. So they just brought their whole cast to do like engagements. And except the kid got, my friend Harrison Chad, who was playing the kid at the time, got too tall. So they only had to recast the little boy.
Aged out.
I got lucky.
Aged out. That's what happens with kids on Broadway, you know? do you ever feel the pressure of having such a successful family, a successful father, you know, who's produced, for people who don't know, I mean, one of his biggest claims to fame was Wicked.
Mm-hmm. That little art show.
Just a tiny bit, a tiny little thing. Do you ever feel the pressure?
Certainly. I mean, I think more so than the pressure to deliver, like, I feel like pretty confident in what I'm able to do. It's more so the pressure of making sure people understand that I'm getting to what places I'm getting to because of what I'm able to do and not because of where I come from. And I feel like it's finding that balance of not ignoring where I come from and ignoring my father and, like, learning lessons from him and learning about the business from him and making sure I know everybody that I need to know, but at the same time not relying on that to do the hard work for me. I think if the hard work meets the fact that I have wonderful opportunities in the middle, that's when, like, the success happens. So I think the pressure just comes from wanting everybody to know that, like, I'm working just as hard as if I came from dentists. So, you know what I mean?
But at the same time,
I'm not going to refuse help from my really wonderful, supportive, smart parents.
That's a good way to look at it, too, because I think some people would rebel against their, you know,
is. I feel like there's just no point in a sense. If they were ever trying to, like, overbear or try to steer me a certain way or tell me what to do, of course I would. But there's so much in the school of, like, we want to do what you want to do and we want to help you get to where you want to get. And they let me kind of lead my own life. And then if I ask for support, they're always willing to give it. So it's pretty nice.
I'm guessing that's probably why you are so committed to your work and dedicated to your craft, is just because, you know, proving yourself and keeping the integrity and really making sure that you do it for yourself and not for anybody else.
Exactly. That's definitely part of it. Also, I just, like, love it more than anything. And I'm, like, always terrified that if one day I couldn't do it, I would just, like, roll up in a ball and disappear.
I have that, like, same thing. You're like, our bodies are our instruments, our voices are our instruments, you know, and so it's like, if one of those things got taken away, what do you...
I'm knocking all the wood in the studio.
I know.
So many wood.
It's not really wood, but it's kind of wood. Whatever.
It's good enough. Looks like wood.
Great.
Yes. So, I mean, it's mostly just, like, you know, to be a theater nerd, like, no day but today. Like, I have my voice and my body right now, so I better use it while I can because nothing makes me kind of happier and feels like I'm where I'm supposed to be. And
sure.
Yeah.
I read that you said, like you just said, that theater was sort of, it's the thing that is home for you, or like I like to say, stage is home for me, but you have worked in film and TV.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about that medium of the industry?
I haven't really done much on TV, mostly film, but I think I like, unlike some people who have been on TV like a little bit longer than I am. I definitely, theater's my first love, but film I like because it kind of feels like you're piecing this puzzle together as a unit. Like, it's like much more of an inclusive medium, I feel like in terms of director, crew, cinematographer, makeup people. It becomes like kind of a whole gang effort because every day all those people are involved.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you do a show like people are involved in the beginning and the director sort of tells you where to be and what to wear and what to do and things like that. But then when the show's off and running, it's really just the cast's responsibility to carry it forward. Obviously the crew that's backstage, but
sure.
But it's something about film feels like, you know, we're all kind of bearing together for this one time in our lives and it won't happen again to just create this thing together, as opposed to theater, which is obviously incredibly communal and familial, but different in the sense that it's sort of much more closed off to the cast, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, there's just a lot of vision happening.
Yes, exactly.
Who was your role model, or who is your role model? Like, what did you idolize growing up?
Ooh, different question. I feel like I idolized growing up as far as, like, because I always wanted to be an actor. I loved Norbert Leo Butz, like, so much. I just saw him at Fid Four Below, and I was too afraid to say hi afterwards, so I ran away.
Ben, you're like, a remarkable talent in the industry and, like, have, like, proved to yourself, and then you won't say hi.
It was a lot for me to see him, like, in person in such a, like, vulnerable, small venue, and he was just as amazing. Shut up. And he looked so good, and he sounded so good, and he's still so compelling. I always loved him because he's, like, not, I mean, he's obviously very handsome, but he's not, like, straight-ahead, normal leading man.
Right.
And so he would create these characters for himself and just make them so uniquely him, like Last 5 Years and Fiero and just the Catch Me If You Can and just everything just so singular to him. And I thought that was, like, so cool and inspiring. And then obviously Gavin Creel, just because his voice is
just
the voice we all hope for.
It's just like
butter on a spoon.
It's like Cynthia Erivo. Bam!
Oh my God.
Onto glass.
Don't get me started on her.
I know.
She's astounding.
We're just like Broadwaying out. I think it's because also I've been so immersed in the Broadway world in the last, like, you know, month and a half.
I can't wait to come back and see you in it.
I had Alice Ripley last week on the show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I wanted her to play Grisabella, like, in Cats so badly. Because I just went, and no offense to Leona Lewis, she's wonderful and so talented, but, like, I always thought it was supposed to be this, like, you know, like, diva, like, with a big, like, who, like, has had her day in the sun, like, next to normal, and she's just, like, pining for it. I don't know. I thought she'd be so perfect, and then she'd sing the crap out of it. But whatever. If anyone's listening, any casting directors, I think it'd be awesome.
Would you call yourself a positive person?
Yes. I mean, I think I try to be. I'm very anxious. I have a lot of anxiety and a lot of, like, hypochondriacal anxiety. Like, if something's wrong with me, I'm like, oh, well, I must be dying. Like, if I have, like, a pain in my hip, I'm like...
Do you WebMD?
No, I have forbid myself from that. I just go to the doctor and get it done. But because I used to search and, you know, obviously, no matter what you
have, like 100
this cancer, that cancer, this, you know, so my mind definitely tries to make me not a positive person because I always assumes the worst, especially with health's involved. But I think there's really no point in, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, how did you realize that you were this anxious person who worried about a bunch of things, like you said, and then, you know, sort of turn that around to be more zen for yourself? Like, how did you do that?
A combination of things. I think the first thing was just realizing that, like, everything was going really wonderfully in my life and I had a lot of blessings in my family and my career and all that, and yet I was still, like, hung up on these, like, small things in my body, and I was like, this isn't a coincidence that every once in a while something comes up and then you can't help but fixate on it. These are little things that are inconsequential that you're just hoping are going to be this terrible thing, because I think I was worried, you know, because everything's going so great, you just wait for that shoe
to
drop.
Thing, like,
exactly.
Yeah, the, like, big sinking hole.
Exactly. So sure. I think when I realized that, like, that's not coming and I am wasting time just waiting for that to come, I started to kind of turn a new leaf. And then, of course, there's therapy and there's, like, meditation and there's little things to do, like, for, like, the actual carrying out of the thing. But I think the major thing is just making the decision to be like, why waste the time? If something's going to happen, it's going to happen.
It's the choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's the choice. Did you see The Humans?
Twice.
I saw it last night, The Invited Dress, because they moved theaters.
Was it wonderful?
I was moved. I was happy. I was sad. I was angry. I was scared all at the same time within 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite was for, you know, the listeners who have not been able to see it yet, which if you get the chance,
you better go.
You absolutely gotta go. Was the letter from the grandma that she left, that she said, you know, I used to think that things were scary in my life, and now looking back, I realized that that was never going to really matter, or it seems so minute now. That just made me think about what you said, because it really, giving into the fear, giving into the living in it, I think also, it's like what I felt like when I watched your performance. I don't know if you understand how excited and happy I am that you're here right now.
You're so kind.
I'm like super fanny.
But I mean, that's...
I'm the stage door every night.
You better. But that's I mean, that's part of the reason I love playing this particular character, is because I get to actually sort of live out the worst things that I deal with as far as, like, anxiety and, like, fixating and being worried about what people are thinking, things like that, to get to like live that out on stage is so cathartic. And then you just kind of get to release it. And then you go into the world and it's like,
yeah,
you know.
Well, for people who don't know, give us like a tiny blurb about Evan.
Ooh, I have my like prepared summary that I've been told I'm allowed to share because it's very plot driven, so I never want to give too much away. But essentially, it's about Evan Hansen. He's a high school senior, very isolated kid, a lot of social anxiety, a lot of trouble connecting, and that's sort of amplified by the world of social media and hyperconnectivity that we live in, where like everybody's sharing and judging thoughts all the time, and he would rather just like say nothing to anybody. And through a series of mishaps, he ends up with this case of mistaken identity, where he creates a fake friendship with a kid in his class that's passed away. And becomes very close with this kid's grieving parents and his grieving sister. And they start to have this really beautiful relationship where Evan helps them to heal after they've lost their son. And they also help Evan feel sort of more confident and give him a place to belong and a place to be heard. Although the whole thing is predicated on this lie because he didn't really know the kid. So I'll leave it there.
Well, that was pretty good.
Thank you. I've had some practice.
I'm impressed. And for a role like that where you are so into your emotions and really just living that fear and that anxiety on stage, do you feel like you take some of that home with you at night?
At the beginning, I did a little bit, but now it's almost the opposite. Like, I feel like my anxiety in general in life has kind of spiked during this break we've had where we're not doing the show, because it gives me a really direct place to put it and like to focus it and use it for good and use it for something I actually like to do. Mm-hmm. So I think when I'm doing the show, it's just mostly a release of it, and then I get to go off stage and just enjoy the experience and enjoy being myself. And
so it's like really therapeutic.
Incredibly,
right? Interesting. Yeah. Do you have any pre-show rituals?
I use a steam inhaler. I have a playlist of songs that I like sing along to get my voice warmed up, that start with like falsetto-y, like soft, like Nobody Needs to Know from the Last 5 Years, and like some Pentatonix, and then it grows into like Bigger Beltier, like Flight and things like that, just like over the 40 minutes before the show, because then by the time you get to the show, it's like, you know, smoking a cigarette, it's old hat. Yeah.
Are you superstitious at all? Do you have anything that, like, if you don't do it before the show, you're like, I'm going to have a bad show?
No, but now I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have that. I have to, like, drink my coffee and then have my green juice and then do my tea. It's, like, a very... Yeah,
I definitely have a routine, but I don't think if things get... as long as I feel, like, loose, then I'm okay.
Yeah. Why would you say that committing or going all in or giving 110% is beneficial, if that's not the most backwards question I could ask?
No, I mean,
you know,
I just feel like we get one chance generally, if whether we're talking about like this particular show I'm doing or a job somebody has or a relationship you're worried about like jumping into. It's like, at a certain extent, like, this is the one life we get to have. So if you're doing everything with sort of one toe in just to try things out and being very sort of conservative about your involvement, then you're never going to find what you're looking for, I think. Right. And I think it's a scary thing, of course, because when you commit 100% or go all in, then the failure is scarier, or the sort of things not being how you hoped they would be is much scarier, because you've put a lot more of yourself into it. The stakes are higher. But if without those things, then you'll never have the other side of it where you've completely earned something, or you completely found something, or you completely love something. So I think the scarier, the better, honestly, because then the happies and the positives mean something.
Right. Did you ever, like, half-ass something and regret it?
I can't think of anything, like career-wise, just because in the recent memory, there's all been things where I've just mostly been terrified that I wouldn't do them well, so I'm just like, I better work my ass off. But definitely, like, relationships, like, I get scared really easily and really early, and, like, I don't want to hurt feelings and I don't want to get too vulnerable. And so I like pull back really early, or I like stay in something, but only half of my heart's in it because I'm too afraid to go all the way into it because I'm afraid of what might happen. So I think there's like a couple of relationships in my past that I regret, like, not giving it a full try and like really letting myself go into it.
Sometimes it's like you go so far in and then you're like, oh shit, maybe I should have thought about that first. I think there's like a good, happy balance of like, thinking about what you really want and what you really want to go for. There's things that I was like, I'm just gonna go for it because, but like, it wasn't really like, my heart wasn't fully in it. And then there's times where the ones that you're most scared of, I think, are the ones you want to give the most to, but you're most scared to give yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
It's kind of like a catch-22.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like easy to go all in, like if I'm, you know, doing like, I don't know, some smaller concert, I only have to sing one song. It's like, right. Well, whatever, I can just like balls to the wall and go for it. But then when it's like an audition for like, you know, the biggest thing you've ever had, it's almost like you don't want to break your heart. Like,
there's a fine line between like desperation and like commitment.
Sometimes they intertwine.
They can. You really. But I mean, I think it takes like a really great artist to dedicate their heart, dedicate their being, and not just artists, but humans. I think it's important to really go all in. Give yourself up.
That's where I'm trying to learn how to apply it to my life the way I apply it to my work. It's like,
for me,
it's so much easier to make a fool of myself if I'm on stage.
Playing somebody else.
Exactly.
Or, you know.
Or like, but in life, it's like I kind of keep one foot out because it's like, much more scary and vulnerable in relationships. Like
It's like performing in like for 15 people or performing for 10,000. I could do 10,000 any day of the week. But if you put me in front of 15 people, I'll probably pass on before and maybe throw up in the process.
Because you can really see every connection you're making or not making.
And they,
as opposed to just a general wash.
And they can see. That's what it is. It's like allowing yourself to be seen, really, is what it is.
That's what the show is about, being seen. And like allowing yourself to be seen.
Pitch Perfect. By the way, were you actually in an a cappella group in college?
Technically, yes. I went to college only for 6 weeks. So I
You went to Columbia University for 6 weeks?
Yes. So well, here's the thing. So I graduated high school, auditioned for the film that summer, and then I got it, and so I deferred my acceptance for a year to Columbia. So when I did the film, when I was filming it, I had never technically been in an a cappella group, although I'd been in choir in high school and things like that, and all my siblings had been in a cappella, so I was familiar with the world, but I'd never been in one. And then the next fall, I actually went for 6 weeks and was in a group called Non Sequitur at Columbia that are awesome.
Non Sequitur?
Mm-hmm. And that was really fun, and I was like, this is the real thing. And then 6 weeks later I was like, I have to leave and go to Book of Mormon, and then I never came back.
Oh my goodness. Just getting into Columbia and leaving and being like, peace out, bitches.
Yeah,
I'm going to do Broadway.
They were
thrilled.
So happy.
Not.
No, but they're so supportive. But no, of course, at first it was like, what are you doing?
Can you talk about your earliest memory as a performer?
There's two. My first was ever, like performing on a stage ever, was when I was six. I was in Cinderella at the Adderley School for the Performing Arts in the Palisades, just like a kids' theater program. And I was the prince. And we had this, like, the scene where she comes to the ball, obviously, and then I sing 10 minutes ago. And then we have this, like, waltz. And I knew where the hands are supposed to go in a waltz, like around her hip and then holding her hand here. And Tori, who was playing Cinderella, like didn't like that my hand was on her hip, so she spent the whole dance like trying to get it up on her shoulder, and I kept being like, no, my hand goes here. So the video is just her keep adjusting my hand up and then me just like sliding it back down, her being like, no, and putting it back up, me being like, no, just like over and over and over again. So that was my first foray on the stage, was just being a perfectionist and being like, this is how it's doing. And then my first professional thing I can remember on stage is my first job was I did Music Man at the Bowl. Music Man, MAME, Camelot, and Sound of Music.
At the Bowl?
Mm-hmm. The first four summers just all happened to have a young... Oh, yeah. Oh, please. I know that place like the back of my hand.
Okay.
But it was the Music Man. It was really awesome. It was Kristen Chenoweth was the Marion, and Eric McCormick was the Music Man, and I was like Winthrop, the lisping kid. And basically we were at our... like a dress. You know how you do your dress during the day?
Uh-huh.
So we were at the dress rehearsal. And, like, it was the first ever musical they did there, so they had us all sitting, like, kind of like in a reading, like, around in a circle the whole time, and then you just get up and do your scenes when you have your scenes. So I was sitting there, and I remember that we had a cue during Till There Was You, because that's the song towards the end before the band comes out, before they're like, well, where's the band? And then the band shows up, and all the kids and I were supposed to go backstage and put our jackets on. And none of the other kids were getting the cue. Like, nobody was getting up to leave. And I was like, I know this is the cue, and nobody's doing it. So I started, like, whisper shouting across, like, the semicircle of chairs, being like, we have to go now. Like, we have to go. We have to. And then, like, this adult woman who's – I forget her name, but she was playing the mom, Peru, like slapped my knee and was like, stop it. And I was like – it was the first time I realized, like, oh, you can't – like, it's more important to, like,
just
keep
go.
The facade – than to like even be on time for like because at my kids program I could always just be like, you guys, we have to go off stage now, and we would all just go off stage, but it was like
a professional venue.
Exactly. I was like, now I kind of realize that it's all about what the audience is perceiving, and it's like when something goes wrong, it's less important that it ends up being right than it is that the audience knowing that it was wrong in the first place.
Two nights ago I like I have a cue to go look at a timer on stage, and it was like two verses too early. <It's> like jetted out, and I was like, oh shit. And they were like, Jenna, where are you going?
Wait, but were you already on stage?
Yes, it's just the three of us.
So you just like went back over
to the left, and then the timer
is this
fell.
The negative?
Yes, and then the timer fell off, and then it was like, okay, we're going to pick up the timer now and pretend like that never happened. Nobody ever spoke of it ever again.
That's the other thing. I feel like we're always so much in our heads during a show, and like every little thing feels like
Well, I get angry if not everything goes right. Mm-hmm, and me I'm too. Like, I can't, in a role like that, you can't. You just have to let it go.
The worst thing I'm so bad at letting it go is coughing. Like, I hate when the audience coughs, and like I feel like such a terrible person because I sometimes will like flail like an arm out just to be like, but like when I can't control myself. But like most of the time, I understand people need to cough; it's fine. But you can hear when it's somebody who's just gratuitously clearing their throat in a quiet moment, and I'm like, would you have choked if you didn't clear your throat just then? Like, would you have choked? Like, was it worth ruining the electricity in the room to make that sound? I feel like you have to, like, whenever I'm in an audience, I'm like, if I have to cough, I have to cough. I'm going to make that decision. But right. I always think about it before. I'm like, do I need to make this sound?
And you're if I do, also, I do. You're also an actor on stage. Yeah, and you know what that's
you're
like.
Right. That's
for
fair.
People who don't, silence means nothing, you know?
Like, it just makes all the difference. Because like
I love a good silent room.
Me too.
You're amazing.
Oh, stop it.
The best of luck to you.
Thanks,
I can't
Jenna.
Wait to see you again.
I can't wait to come see your show again.
Please go see Dear Evan Hansen.
Please do.
When do you guys start? When
our
does
first
it open?
Preview is November 14th, and our official opening is December 4th, and then we're off and running till God knows when.
Where can we learn about the show, and where can we find you on social media?
Okay, well, obviously on social media, I'm Ben Splatt because my middle name is Schiff, so it's Ben S. Platt. on Instagram and Twitter.
Ben Splatt.
But more importantly, for the show, you can go to DearEvanHansen.com, Evan Hansen. And you can get tickets there. You can hear our song Waving Through a Window there, which is the single of the show. It's the opening number. You can read all about it and definitely go check it out because
best
you'll want to go.
Thanks so much for joining me on another episode of Infinite Positivities. I'd love to see photos of you guys committing to your goals, whatever they are, whether it's fitness, cooking, your job. Tag me in a photo on Twitter or Instagram of you doing your thing. And until next time, remember, whatever you do, commit yourself to it fully, and you'll see the rewards.